Caribou say, hope all is good. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Pei Zayin. We have a tremendous chus of finishing the ninth parak today. As you can tell, the parakim are going to be pretty short. And just do the math, and we got seven left and about 35-40 watt. So, yeah, they're going to be a bit shorter than they used to. But Baruch Hashem, we get to finish the ninth parak. We'll start the tenth a little bit, but let's do the Mishnah here. We're in the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Beis. Pretty clean break. It gets a little complicated, but really, it's just a lot of words. It's two separate cases. We know that the halacha is, let's say, if a Bas Yisrael, for example, marries a kohen, then that kohen dies, or she does not allow to eat truma anymore. But if she has a kid, then she still is allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara is going to basically go through two different cases, one direction, one in the other direction, in terms of when they have a kid and then it dies, and she marries a second husband and has a kid from that marriage, etc., etc. So you'll see in a second, but again, keep in mind, it's really just two big cases back-to-back that are the flip side of each other. So says the Mishnah, Bas Kohen Shenisei, Bas, I already messed it up, Bas Yisrael Shenisei is the Kohen. If you have a Bas Yisrael that married the Kohen, Tochal B'Truma, obviously, right, standard halacha, she's allowed to eat Truma, right, that's normal, right? Meis V'Lab Himenu Ben, Tochal B'Truma, right, if the husband dies, but she has a kid, so then she's allowed to eat Truma. Let's say then, Nisei's La Levi, then she marries a Levi. So at that point, right, her husband, original Kohen husband died, she's allowed to eat Truma from her son, but then she goes and marries a Levi. So in that case, then Tochal V'Meiser, then she can only eat Meiser. Meis V'Lahe Menuben, let's say then that husband dies and she has a son, a Levi son, so then Tochal V'Meiser, she can still eat Meiser. Nisei's the Yisrael, if she then goes on and marries a Yisrael, you're asking me, isn't she have a chazaka that her husband's die? Okay, that's a good kasha. I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. I didn't see anybody talk about that. But okay, fine, let's say she gets married a third time, now she goes and marries a Yisrael. Right now, she's a Bas Yisrael, she's a marries a Yisrael. Right, so then we'll talk a little bit, she can't do either one. Meis v'lah himenu ben, if he dies, that husband dies, you're getting a broken record here, yeah? And she has a kid, so then we'll talk a little bit, right, then she cannot eat either one, obviously, because she still has a kid from the Yisrael. Then, flip side, then back it up. If Meis Benami Yisrael, then her Yisrael son dies, so then she goes back to her second marriage, which is the Levi, so Tochal B'Meiser. Meis Benami Levi, if her son from the Levi dies, so then Tochal B'Truma, you go back to the first husband's son, and then she's back to being a Kohen, or a married, quote-unquote, or connected to a Kohen through her son. Meis B'Naba Kohen, Mikohen, Lo Tochal Lo B'Truma, Lo Meiser. Then if that the son dies, then she's already back to the beginning, right? And then she cannot eat either one. Now, what about the opposite? Well, not really the opposite case, but again, we started with a Bas Yisrael that marries a Kohen. What about a Bas Kohen that marries a Yisrael? Right, we know that a Bas Kohen who's allowed to eat Truma, right, when she marries a Yisrael, she is no longer allowed to eat Truma. So now we're just going to go in the opposite direction, right? Again, we went one way and the other way. Now, flip side, but really the same halachos. Bas Kohen Shenisei to Yisrael, Lo Tochal B'Truma, right, as we said, a Bas Kohen who marries Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma. Meis V'Lahe Menu Ben, if the husband dies but she has a kid, so then still Lo Tochal B'Truma, because again, she's connected, right, to that first marriage. Nisei to Levi, if she goes on and she marries a Levi, then Tochal B'Meiser, then obviously she can eat Meiser. Meis V'Lahe Menu Ben, if the husband dies but she has a kid, so then Tochal B'Meiser, she can still eat Meiser. Nisei is the Kohen, Tochal B'Truma. If then she marries a Kohen, then she can only eat Truma. Meis V'Lahe Menu Ben, Tochal B'Truma. And so certainly, as we've been saying, if the husband dies, then she has a kid, so then she can still eat Truma. Meis B'Nami Kohen, if that son dies, then Lo Tochal B'Truma, then she's no longer able to eat Truma, but she can go back to her second marriage, which is to the Levi, and she can eat Meiser. Meis B'Nami Levi, if her son from the second marriage dies, from the Levi, then Lo Tochal B'Meiser, then she cannot eat Meiser anymore. Meis B'Nami Yisrael, if the first son dies, right, from the Yisrael, so then what happens? She's still a Bas Kohen with no prior connections to any of the marriages. Then she goes back to her father's house. And that's already what the pasuk says, right? That she's allowed to go back to her original status as a Bas Kohen. She goes back to her father's house. Okay, says the Gemara. Gemara says, right, we said, Meis Brami Levi Tochal B'Truma. Right, if the Levi son dies, then she can go back to eat Truma because she has a kid from the Kohen. So the Gemara says, the Hadra Achla Mishum Bina Minolin. How do you know the halacha is that a woman is allowed to go back, in this scenario, that she would go back to eating Chuma because of her kid? Again, in the case where she was married to Levi, right, then she went back, Levi died, Levi's son of Levi died, now she still has a son from the Kohen. How do you know she can go back to eating Chuma? Am Rabbi Abba Bar Marav, Bas, Ubas. When you have a two psukim, where this is on the side, okay, uvas kohen kiye almano gusha v'zarei in love shalva al bisavia kinerel melech aviyat ochel, etc. And then the pasuk says, right, that is the previous pasuk rather, says uvas kohen kiye liyizor kishuma kiye b'tzuras or kodeshim los ochel. So you have the word uvas. So that teaches us that she's allowed to go back. So the Gemara says, come on, who's that like? Rabbi Akiva, the Darshi Vav, is that really like Rabbi Akiva, who holds, right, who darshens out the extra Vavs? So it says, no, feel Tim Rabbanan, Kula Ubas Kra Yisrahu, right, you didn't need the second Ubas, so you don't need the U, you can use the whole word to darshen out, it could be according to everybody. Okay, Tana Rabban will end the Rabbanan. Because she chozeres, the Truma, Veda chozeres, the chazei v'shok. When she goes back, right, after this whole thing, right, she goes back finally to eating Truma. This case is the case where, this is the second case in the Mishnah, where you had the Bas Kohen who did that whole back and forth. Now she goes back to her father's house. So she goes back to Truma, but not for the Matnos Kehuna, for the Korbanos, not for chazei v'shok, right? We had that discussion earlier, if you remember. But in this case specifically, it's not Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Right? This is she, the Tana, right? The Brisa says that she does not eat the korbanos. Now, why is that? So, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ravina, Bar Shila, my crux, the pasuk. What's the pasuk? He be chuvasa kodeshim lo sochel. Because she cannot eat, right? Once she marries a Yisrael, she cannot eat trumas hakadoshim. What is that? The murah min hakadoshim lo socha. Meaning she's not allowed to eat what is taken from kachim, i.e., by the manos kahuna for the korbanos, by the chazei, that's the breast of the animal, and the shok and one of the legs, or the top of the leg. Rav Nachman bar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba bar Avua milechem. Right? He says that really it's the pasuk of milechem. V'lo kol lechem milechem v'lo kol lechem. Right, sorry, that's not the pasuk. The pasuk is milechem. Meaning she milechem avia tochel. She can eat from the bread of her husband. V'lo kol lechem. Right, and not any bread. Right, not his truma. Prat the chazir v'shok. Right, to exclude. Right, the chazir v'shok, right, again, that she's allowed to eat some of the food, but not all of the food, excluding the meat and right that they get from the korbanos. Maskev the Rabbi Brachama, Imer Pat Lafaris the Darim. So why don't you use that pasuk to teach me that milechem that she eats from the food, but he's not able to be made for neder. Meaning that again, one of the halachas we learn is that a father is able to be made for neder for his daughter to get rid of a vow, to get rid of a neder. Once she goes to marry the husband does it. But how do you know maybe that this pasuk teaches me that she doesn't go back to her father's house for her first nedarim when her husband dies? So Amarava, Kfar Paskal Tanu Rabbi Yishmael, because the base medrash Rabbi Yishmael already Paskin already told us that that is the case. Meaning you don't need this pasuk to teach me that. We already know that from somewhere else. The Tanu Rabbi Yishmael, v'neder almano grusha yakum aleha. Anything she's going to aser via a shvua, right? It will happen. Meaning when it's a neder, when it's an almano and a grusha. Right, so when she's divorced or she was widowed, right, so her nedarim are not meferable; they're not cancelable. So that anything she says is going to happen, and you can't get rid of it. So matam alomer, what do you need that pasuk to teach me? Meaning, obviously, because the only people who are involved that are able to be made for neder to get rid of her nedarim is her husband or her father. Her father's gone, and she's out of her husband's gone, and she's out of her father's house. Really, meaning what the case is, what we need that for is that the father gave his daughter over to the shluchim, to the shliach of the husband, and then Rachman Aslan, either he died, the husband died, or they give her a get on the way. Meaning, so then we know that she's no longer being made for neder. Right? Hey, Achani Kariba. What's her halacha? What's her status? Right? Beis Avia Shelzu, or Beis Bala Shelzu. Meaning, how do you know? Meaning, she left the father's house, but she's not in the husband's house, and so she's not going to the husband's house. So, what's her status? Once she's out of her father's house, she's done. So we know that halacha, so you don't need to exclude that and tell me that she leaves her father's house and she doesn't go back to her father's house for a farsa nadarim. We know from Rabbi Shmuel that that is the case. Okay. Rav Safa Amar, Rav Safa says that no, we can learn the fact that she doesn't eat the korbanos from this pasuk. Pasuk says, "Melechem aviyat ochel." Well, not the same pasuk, but a different drasha. Lechem lo basar, right? Bread and not meat. Rav Papa Amar, "Melechem aviyat ochel." Lechem makani laviyah, right? Prat lechazav shok, right? That's bread that is acquired by the father, right? Excluding the korbanos, the matnos gehuna, right? Dimishulchan gavah kazachu, because they're coming from the mizbeach, right? They're not coming from Jews that have given it to the kohanim to eat, to own. Rava Amar, Rava says, Rava says the pasuk of itach, and when she's with you, that's when you get to eat it. So you don't need, you don't actually get to eat the chazay and shok because they're no longer with you, but with the husband, with the father. I'm sorry. So Amar Avada Bar Ava, Tanam Lender Raisa. Again, that halacha that we've been talking about, she doesn't go and eat the korbanos, she only goes back to her truma. But if it's for a son, meaning that Bas Yisrael has a kid with a kohen, so that will enable her to still keep on eating kunchin. Azor of Mordechai. Rav Mordechai went, right, and he traveled. Amar l'shmaitzi kamei de Rav Ashi, and he said this word to Rav Ashi. And Amar, he said, "Mehecha ka misrabia miba." Where do we see that from? Where do we include that in this case we can eat truma? Mi ubas from ubas is kohen. Mi adif alamine. Why should it be any better? Meaning, what's the difference? Meaning, we're saying that a Bas Kohen who comes back into her father's house only gets to eat truma. And we're saying that a Bas Yisrael who has a kid through a Kohen, she's still allowed to eat truma and kachim. So what's the difference? That's what it says. Rav Ashi said back to him, Hasim ksivim miyute, hacha lo ksivim miyute. Because simply we have psukim that exclude a Bas Kohen who comes back into her father's house from these korbanos. Right? So therefore, that would be the simple difference. Okay. Then we had said Bas Kohen, she uses Yisrael, right? That case, again, if it's Bas Kohen who marries Yisrael, back and forth and back and forth. So, Tanu Rabbanan will enter Raisa, Veshava al Beis Aviyah, if she goes back to her father's house, right? Prat l'shomeres Yavam, excluding l'shomeres Yavam, meaning that's not considered as coming back to her father's house, right? If she still is awaiting Yibum, but she's not back in her father's house, she cannot yet eat Truma. Kinu Reha, what does that teach me? Prat l'umuberes, to exclude a woman who is pregnant. So that's also not going to get her back into her father's house. Okay, the Gemara says, one second, I've looked into it. What do you mean? This is a Kal V'Chomer. What's a Kal V'Chomer? That a Bas Kohen should not be able to eat truma, right, if she's pregnant. Umabim makom shalosu vlada rishon kevlada min hasheni leputra min hayibum. In the case of yibum, where the first kid is not the same as the second kid, meaning if a woman had a kid from the first marriage, married a second husband, the second husband died without kids, that first kid does not help, and she still has to do yibum with the second husband's family. So also ubar kiyolud, but right, if a woman is pregnant in that case, it's as if she has a kid. So you see, pregnancy is like she has a kid. But if that's true in that case, Markham Shasav Vlad Rishon Gavlad Minashani, and the postal Minatruma, if you tell me that, but what about the case of Truma, where if she had a second kid, or a first kid, right, that will possibly from Truma, rather like in our case in the Mishnah, where she had several kids, right, either any of those kids will not allow her to eat Truma if she's, let's say, a Bas Kohen. And so, in addition, as a uber kilo, certainly you should say that if she's pregnant, it should be as if the kid is still alive. Is already alive. Square says, no, that can't be the good logic. That kama chorva doesn't work because ma'ali asa uber kilo linu nibum shere asa mesim gechayim. Yibum is different than truma, because if she has a kid that passed away, she is potter from yibum. But that's not true by Truma, right? Again, as we saw in the Mishnah, right? If the kid passes away, so then it's not considered as if the kid is still alive, right? By Yibum, if the kid is passed away, so that's considered as if the kid was alive, quote unquote, and she doesn't have to Yibum. By Truma, it's not true. So they can't compare the two. So therefore, the logic doesn't work, except for Talmud Lomar. Therefore, we have the Pasuk, the Kinur Alapra, the Muberes. They don't need the Pasuk to teach me that Bas Kohen, who's pregnant, is not going to go back to her father's house. If she is pregnant, we need both of these, right? We had both of these drushes. We said muberes, meaning the pasuk of kinorea, and the pasuk of zera inla, right? To exclude, sorry, that's a different pasuk that we said before. But vizera inla means to exclude a woman who has no kids. We have to exclude a woman who's pregnant, and we also have to say a woman who has no kids. Neither of them go back. Meaning zera inla means excluding a kid that's already alive. Meaning that both a woman who is pregnant and a woman who has a child that's already alive, right, neither of those cases go back to her father's house in order to eat truma. And we need both of those psukim. The ikas of Rahman of Zera in law, if you would have told me that she has no kids, meaning that the kid is alive, she doesn't go back to her father's house, that here, because back when she was with her father, she was only one person, and now there are two. But if some woman who's pregnant, who's still kind of one body over there, right, you might have thought she goes back to her father's house and eats truma, so therefore you need to tell me that it's not true. Because Rahman of Muberes, and if you would have only told me that a pregnant woman doesn't go back to her father's house, I mean, the Mikara Gufa Srika, the Hashta Gufa Malia, because we see that she herself is different. Right? When she was in her father's house, she was, literally means empty, and now she's full, right? Then she has a fetus in there. Avalzera in law, but if she has kids, so the Mikara Gufa Srika, the Hashta Gufa Srika, because she's not any different than when she was in her family, in her father's house. I mean, she has a kid, but she physically is not any different. Same, you might have thought that she shouldn't have a problem. She should be able to go back. That's a little confusing, right? Amalo. Meaning, maybe you shouldn't say that she shouldn't go back to her father's house, and she should be able to eat truma. So therefore, tzuka, you need both of these. So, okay, we'll skip the simon. Just a way to remember what's coming up next. Amar le Rav Yehuda mi diskarta la Rava. Sorry. Lo nasa mesim kichayim lenin yibo mekal v'chomer. I don't understand. Why do we say, says Rav Yehuda of Diskarta, why do we say that a kid who is dead, Rachman al-Tzlan, gets a woman out of yibo? Right? You should not say that. Right? If we know the halacha pashut as the beginning of the Masechta, if a woman has a child, she's parted from yibo. Why is it true that if a woman has a child who passed away, she's also positive from Yibam? We shouldn't do that, because logically, it doesn't make sense. Because if in the case of Truma, where the child from the first kid, from the first husband, is the same as a child from the second husband, meaning, right, again, when you had Cohen Levi Yisrael, right, if you had Levi Yisrael, the first kid is going to passel her from eating Truma, just like the second kid. But lo asa meisim gechayim, and in that case, though, they have to be alive. I mean, if they're passed away, they don't count. So makom shalasa vlad min rishon kevlad min hasheni. Sorry, shalo asa vlad min rishon min hasheni. But so therefore, in a case by yibum where we didn't say that the first kid has any impact on the second marriage, the portrayment of yibum, in the case of yibum, like we explained before, and additionally, asa meisim gechayim. So certainly, we should not have. Right, it shouldn't matter. We shouldn't make the kids who are dead as if they are alive, meaning to passel the Yibam. So therefore, Tama Lomar, therefore we assume that in Echanami, we're not going to say that in a case where a woman had a kid, skipped Yibam, and then the kid died, that she has to go back and do Chalitza. We're not going to say that. Because even though the logic might dictate that we should say that a kid who passed away should kind of put the woman back into, right, just like we change statuses based on whether the kid's alive or not for Truma, we should also change status of the woman for Yibum, right, based on whether the kid is alive. So let's say if her husband died, right, and then she had a kid who, at that time, so she was part of from Yibum, and let's say Rachman al-Tzlan, the kid died. So we're not, in the case of Truma, she would lose the connection to her previous husband and she wouldn't be able to eat Truma anymore. But in the case of Yibam, we're not going to say that you lose the Ptur Yibam and now you have to go and do Chalitza because called Derech Darchinam, Chalitza Shalom, the ways of the Torah are nice and peaceful, etc. We're not going to all of a sudden, right, let's say she's remarried now, we're not going to make her go get Chalitza from the brother of her first husband. That would make, you know, that would make up obviously a mess with the marriage. So that's not so good. We don't want to do that. Okay. And then the Gemara continues. So let's flip it backwards. So then maybe we should make dead kids like alive kids. And again, a little bit morbid here, but you know, we should make kids who have passed away as if the kids were alive, right? To connect the woman to her husband and allow her to eat truma. Right? Why don't we say that? Right? Again, our Mishnah said that we don't, but why don't we say that? Right? If in a scenario like Truma, like we said in our Mishnah, where the first kid is not relevant to the second kid, I mean, it doesn't line up. It's also basically, it doesn't matter whether you have a previous kid or not. To get out of Yibum, again, because as we said before, the first kid for the first marriage will not get her out of the Yibum from the second marriage. But in that halacha, we do say, in that case, we do say, Mesim Kechayim, that alive and dead kids are, have the same status, right? Makom Shasav Lemin Rishon Kevav Min Hasheni, and the post Lemin Truma, by the halacha of puzzling her for Truma, right? The first kid is just as good as the second kid, and in addition, has a Mesim Kechayim. So certainly, if the kids, this shouldn't matter if the kids are alive or not. So therefore, the pasuk says, no, if she has no kids, right, again, if she has no kids, then she can go back and eat truma, right? We see the pasuk has to tell us specifically that, right, kids who are passed away are different than kids who are still alive in terms of her status of eating truma. Gemara suggests, okay, Vanasa Vlamin Rishon Kevlamin Hasheni Lidin Yibum Mikal V'Chomer. But what about, again, we kept on trying to talk about the status of alive kids and dead kids. Now we're talking about, now why don't you change the rule about Yibum, right? We said if a woman has a kid in the first marriage and her second marriage, her husband passes away with no kids, they have to do Yibum. Well, what about the first kid? Doesn't matter. So why is that true? Meaning that should matter. Maybe she shouldn't have to do Yibum. Because Umaba Makam Shalom also makes me Chayim, Linyan Truma, also of Vlad Minarisham Vlad Kavala Minashani. In a case by Truma, where we don't, it matters whether the kid is still alive, right? And therefore, and similarly, the kid from the first marriage will have an impact, just like a kid from the second marriage. So, makam shasavesim kechayim linun yibum, in addition as of lamin arishon kevlam nesheni. So, certainly, in the case where live kids and dead kids have the same status, like yibum, right, certainly, the first kid from the first marriage should have an impact. Right, should be treated the same as a kid from the second marriage. Right, says Tamalot. So therefore, since that logic we would hold theoretically, the pasuk says Uben Einla, right? Vaha Einla, right? It has no kids, right? And the Vayibom, right? That he, I mean Uben Einlo. I'm sorry, Uben Einlo. Right, that the lineage, the kids, whether their kids are alive or not, right, we go by this based on the husband. So if the husband has no kid. Right, so then the woman has to do Yibam regardless of whether she has kids from her previous marriage. So that pasuk teaches me against that logic. And finally, last thing in the parak. V'lonasa v'lamin harishon k'v'lamin hasheni l'truma mikal v'chomer. Flip it backwards. Why do we say, why don't we say that the first kid and the second kid from the first marriage and the second marriage are not the same by truma? Right, because v'ma'u v'makom sh'asa meisim k'chayim l'pochum v'na Yibam l'osa v'lamin harishon k'v'lamin hasheni. Just like in a case where by Yibum, where we said that the live kids and dead kids will both potter the woman from Yibum, so, and in that case, a kid from the first marriage does not have any impact on the second marriage. So certainly, makom shalos amesim v'chayim kilin and truma. So certainly, in the case where it's live kids and dead kids have different statuses, like by truma, and additional amounts of v'lamin rishon v'lamin hasheni. Certainly, kids from the first marriage should not have any impact on the second marriage and on our status to Yitruma. Sefer, since theoretically that logic would hold, Tam Lomar, Imla, the Yeshla, right? The Pasuk says specifically that it has to be when she has no kids. If she does have kids, so then she is no longer able, she's stuck, right, with not able to Yitruma, right, from, let's say, her father's from her father's house, or let's say her first husband, or whatever it is. Okay. Hadra, that's a little bit back and forth, a little bit rough, definitely need some Chazara. Hadra, Lach, Yish Mutaros, right, and let's go on to at least see the Mishnah in the 10th parak. Mishnah says like this: Eish shehalach balam din sayam. Sad story. Woman, husband goes on a journey, and ubov amrula meis balech. And they came back and they said, your husband died. And as you'll see by the end of the Mishnah, the word bo'u is a little bit misleading. Rashi already just clears it out for us. Aid echad, we're talking about one aid here. Later we'll talk about two aidim and bezdin, etc. But you have one aid, one eye. Why does it say bo'u in the plural? Okay, that's a good question. Gemara, we'll talk about it. But we have bo'u v'amru, one aid, one witness comes and says, your husband died. So what happens? And Venise's v'akakach ba'abala, obviously she gets remarried, and, you know, her husband, what was the Tom Hanks movie? He's like, I forget the name of it, but he's like, you know, on an island, you know, for 10 years or whatever it is, and he has a volleyball or something. Anyways, let's say, obviously he comes home and his wife is remarried, etc. Fine, whatever. So Rachman al-Slan, right, that happens. Husband shows up. Disaster. So what's the deal? Now, we're going to learn through a bunch of halachos. The bottom line is, the common denominator, the real halacha which is teaching us here, is that she's still legally, halachically married to the first husband, and she is not at all married to the second husband, but we're going to do a bunch of things to the second husband, midrabanan, right, that we're going to do to the first husband as well. But again, she's legally, halachically, married to the first husband. So what's the deal? First of all, Tetsa Mizah Mizah, she has to leave both of them. Utsucha Get Mizah Mizah, she needs a get from both of them. Now, obviously, get from her first husband, the get from the second husband is not Midaraisa, that's going to be the Midrabanan. As we said, she's married to the first one, not married to the second one. Doesn't need a get, but we're going to do it anyway. And we'll see, we'll talk about all this stuff, Mitzvah Shem, over either tomorrow, over Shavuos, etc. Vein La Ksuba, she doesn't get a Ksuba from either one. Velo Peros, she doesn't get produce from either one. She doesn't get the fruit that comes out of her fields, etc. Velo Mazono, she doesn't get taken care of. She doesn't get food for her. For either one. Velo Blal, she doesn't get money for her clothes that worn out. Lo Alzeh, Velo Alzeh, from neither of them. Vimnot Lamizeh, Mizeh Taksir, if she took any money from either one of them, let's say one of these payments, one of these values, she has to give it back. Vavlad Mamzer, Mizeh, Mizeh, and the Blal is a Mamzer from either one of them. Now, that's a little bit weird, right? Definitely understand why the Blal is a Mamzer from a second husband, because they were never halachically married. She was married, so it's literally a bia out of wedlock. All the bias are bias nos. But what about the first guy? If she would then have a kid with the first guy, so that's obviously not a mamzer daraisa. Rashi already here says that's a mamzer midirabanan. Okay. Velo zev is a matamila. And if her husbands were kohanim, they would not be matami her, meaning for her, because they're not, you know, the second one's never legally married. And the first one we have to talk about. Velo zev zev zakayin lo b'mitziyasa v'lo b'maisiyadeh. Neither of them are allowed to get things that she finds or anything that she makes, right? That's usually the right of the husband. No, neither of them get it. They're not able to be made for neder, as we talked about a few minutes ago. If she was either a Bas Yisrael, she's no longer allowed to marry a Kuhuna, and if she's a Bas Levi, she can't eat Meiser anymore. If she's a Bas Kohen, she can't eat Truma anymore. Nobody gets her Ksuba, right? No inheritors get the Ksuba, right? Obviously, that's a little bit weird, because we already said she has no Ksuba, so what do you mean? Okay, we'll have to talk about that. If they died, so then, right? Both the husband's brothers do chalitza. Isn't she really still married to the first one? So Yanachanami, the second one will be midirabana. Okay, now we have a bunch of, that's the Tanakama. A bunch of these are the Tanayim now come in and tweak this halacha a little bit. Rabbi Yossi says, first of all, ksubasa anechse by the harishon. The ksuba goes by the first, meaning that she can get the ksuba from the first husband. Again, because that's who she's married to. Obviously, she wasn't married to the second guy, so there's no ksuba there. But Rabbi Yossi says she does still get the ksuba from the first husband. Rabbi Lazar says, Harishon Zakav Mitziyasu Maseyadeh Ufars Nedareah. Rabbi Elazar says, since they were, again, she's married to the first one, so the first husband is allowed to get anything she finds, or any Maseyadeh, any her salaries, any money she makes, and he can still be made for Nedar. He can still get rid of her Shavuas, because they're still married. Rabbi Shimon says, "Be also chalitza me'achiv shal rishon poteres tzarasa." Right, that any yibum or chalitza from the first brother's husband's brother, that's real yibum, that's real chalitza, and that will pater any co-wives that the first husband had. Ve'inav lami ben mamzer, and any kid that she would subsequently have with the first husband, right, would not be a mamzer. Right, we said because the kid from the second husband is for sure a mamzer. We said the first kid is called Tanakama. First, any subsequent kids with the first husband. Or mamzer and midrabanan, right? So Rabbi Shimon says that's not true. Okay, fine. Now v'mnisis below rishus. Now this is a little bit misleading. Below rishus means without permission from Beis Din. Now that seems to be an inappropriate thing, but a little bit, as Rashi explains over here, and the Gemara is going to bring out, it's not exactly true. For the Gerashi, nisis shel rishus, what it means is shel rishus Beis Din. Right, so that, what does that mean? Shabosh ne'edim. If the case is now, not that there was one witness, like we said before, but that there were two. For Amru, they said, Meis Balech. They said, your husband died. Vinicius me'atzma. Then she goes based on that testimony. That testimony is legit. Meaning, in the case where, in the case where one aid comes, there she needs Beis Din's permission to remarry. Here we're saying she has two aidim, which is halakhically valid. And we treat the husband as if he's died. Venezia is me'atzma. And she goes and gets married on her own. She didn't even need Beis Din to go get remarried. This is a better case. It's not that Shalom Bershus, she did it without permission. It means without permission of Beis Din, meaning she didn't even need Beis Din. And she went and got remarried. So then Muteras Naksolo, she's even allowed to go back to her first husband. That she's even allowed to go back to her first husband. That's obviously we're going to talk about. That's very fascinating. But she's even go back to, right, because Rashi says Danusahi, because it's total honest, it's total accident. She had no idea what she's supposed to do. To Adam came and said that he died. Right, that's halakhically valid. So we assume him to be dead, and we assume her actions to be complete onus. And she's even allowed to go back to him. It's as if someone raped her. Fascinating. Nisei's Alpi Beis Din, but if she went back and remarried through Beis Din, again, this is based on the first case for one aid, then Tete, she has to go leave both of them, to her man a korban, she doesn't have to bring a korban, because it's not even a b'shogeg, because we know that if someone does an Isser Karius b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban chatos, and that she doesn't have to bring that. Lo nisei zalpi Beis Din, but she didn't get married with Beis Din's rishus, meaning it was a better for her, meaning she had two edim, and she didn't even need Beis Din. So then Teitzei, she has to leave the second husband, but the chayav is b'korban, and she has to bring a korban chadas. Yafikach Beis Din, she brought him in a korban, and the reason that the Beis Din is better in this scenario is that she doesn't have to bring the korban. But as we said before, right, it's a little bit different. That's the only thing where it's quote-unquote better. At least it seems. Okay. Hurua Beis Din Linasei, if the Beis Din allowed that she's allowed to remarry, the halacha lekilkala, and then she didn't get married again, but she went to sleep around, ten chayevas b'korban, shlo tirua linasei, and then she has to bring the korban, because all the Beis Din did was so that she could get remarried, but not that she could be a zona or whatever, just have a free-for-all. Okay, we're going to stop at the Mishnah. Obviously, we have to dive into a lot of these topics tomorrow, Mr. Shem, and have a great Erev Yom Tov, and a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.